Why should a woman be a centerpiece of a men's group? Hi, I'm Mike Mason, and this is St. Joe Society Podcast. St. Joe Society is a Catholic lay apostolate devoted to helping men order all things to Christ as they grow strong in mind, body, and spirit. If you'd like to check out more about us, see us online at stjoesociety.org. This is episode 5 of the St. Joseph Boot Camp. And the question before us today is, why should a woman be a centerpiece of a men's group? Now, last week we examined the phrase come and see and how St. John uses it in his gospel. And what I argued last week is that the phrase come and see is an invitation to see where a person lives. So Christ uses this as an invitation for two of the disciples to come see where he lives. Philip challenges Nathanael to come and see who Christ is. And then the term come and see is used when Jesus asks where Lazarus is buried. Now, I argued that this had a literal application. It's obvious in the text, but also that it had a spiritual application. And the spiritual application was that we are to see where a person lives, not only literally and physically, but spiritually as well. So when Christ says, come and see, he's inviting a person to see the life that he has to give. That was in John chapter 2. Later in John chapter 11, in the death of Lazarus, the come and see refers to come to see where Lazarus is buried in the tomb. And the image we get there is that Christ invites people to come see his life. People who are not with him are currently living in the grave. And the question I posed to all of you is, where do you live? Right now, are you living the fullness of the life that God has for you in union with Christ, or are we living in the tomb? This month, we're going to investigate what the church teaches about the Blessed Virgin Mary and her role in leading us from the tomb into glory. There's a Latin phrase called ad Jesum per Mariam, which means to Jesus through Mary. This phrase is a perfect summary of our theme this month. October is the month of Mary, and it's the month of the Rosary. So we're going to explore what the church teaches about the Blessed Mother. And though it might at first glance seem counterintuitive to look to a woman and how central of a role she has in a Catholic men's group, what you will discover this month is that the Blessed Virgin Mary is the perfect person to lead us to Christ. And she wants nothing more than to point us to her beloved son. Now, the way we're going to tackle it this month is we're going to look at 4 Marian dogmas. Today, we're going to look at Mary as the mother of God. Next week, we're going to look at the Immaculate Conception, Mary's perpetual virginity in week 3. And then in week 4, we'll end with the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, this month, we're going to start with Mary as the mother of God and her fullness of grace. Now, why would we start here? Reginald Garrigou Lagrange, one of my favorite theologians, wrote a book called The Mother of the Savior in Our Interior Life. See it right here. Mother of Savior in Our Interior Life. Excellent book. He wrote in this book, he said this, the two truths which stand out like mountain peaks in the chain of revelation concerning our Blessed Lady are her divine maternity and her fullness of grace. And so those are the two that we're going to start with. Let's begin with Mary, the Mother of God. Now, Mary's divine motherhood is the most important dogma because everything else the church teaches about her flows from this great truth. Garrigou Lagrange in his book said this, the divine maternity is the foundation, source, and root of all Mary's graces and her privileges. Once you start to investigate this great mystery, okay, this great truth of the Blessed Virgin Mary being the mother of God, everything else just naturally follows from that. So what does it mean that the Blessed Virgin Mary is the mother of God? This was declared a dogma at the Council of Ephesus in 431. And the council said this, if anyone does not confess that the Christ in truth is God, and that on this account, the Holy Virgin is the mother of God, since according to the flesh, she brought forth the word of God made flesh, let him be anathema. And what's the Council of Ephesus saying here? If anyone denies that Jesus Christ is God, okay, you're outside church teaching. Also, if anyone denies that the Blessed Virgin Mary is not the mother of God, you're also outside of church teaching. The church says that the title mother of God, so what we believe about Mary as mother of God and what we believe about Jesus are intrinsically tied together. Okay. When you pull the thread out of one, if you deny one, you're going to deny the other one. So what we believe about Mary, what the church teaches about Mary, is directly tied to what we believe about her son. Okay. So what do we believe about her son? Okay. We believe that Jesus is one person with two natures, one divine and one human. Now, the fancy theological term for this is the hypostatic union. That's the theological term that says Jesus is one person with two natures, one human and one divine. Okay. Now, for us, okay, so for me and for you, we are, all of us are persons. Okay. So I'm a person and I have a nature. I have one nature. I have a human nature. You are one person. You have a human nature. Christ is a person. And yes, he is human, but he doesn't have just one nature. He has two. He also has a divine nature. Now, the heretics in the early church would mess up this connection, this one personhood with two natures. And they did it a lot of different ways that we won't get into. But in this context, the heretics in the other church said, listen, when it comes to Blessed Virgin Mary, they said, listen, she only gave Jesus his human nature. Okay. So they refused to call her the Mother of God. They're like, all she's responsible for is his human nature. And so they said, she's not the Mother of God. She's just the Mother of Christ. Okay. And Christ was kind of just referring to his human nature. The church said, this is not true. Okay. Why not? These heretics are wrong because the Blessed Virgin Mary did not give birth to a nature. She gave birth to a person. Okay. It is absolutely true that Jesus' human nature comes from his mother. That's true. But did Blessed Virgin Mary give birth to a person or a nature? She gave birth to a person. Furthermore, Jesus is not a human person. He's a divine person. So when we say the Blessed Virgin Mary is the mother of God, here's what we mean. Mary is the mother of Jesus. That's true. Jesus is God. That's also true. Therefore, Mary is the mother of God. It's that simple. What we believe about our Lord in the hypostatic union naturally flows to what we believe about the Blessed Virgin Mary and her divine motherhood, her divine maternity. And so Blessed Virgin Mary as being the mother of God is the greatest title we can give her, and all the other ones flow from this. Now, one of the corollaries that we're going to look at from her divine maternity is the fact that she's full of grace. At the beginning of every Hail Mary, we say, Hail Mary, full of grace. Her fullness of grace is directly tied to her maternity. So let's look at what this means. First, let's start with, what is grace? Okay. Sanctifying grace makes us participate in God's very nature. Okay. It allows us to participate in God's very life. Sanctifying grace isn't just like a power. It's that God comes and lives with us. It allows us to participate in him. Okay. St. Peter talks about this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. He says this. He said, God helps us to, quote, escape from the corruption that is in the world and become partakers of the divine nature. When we are in a state of grace, we participate in the divine. Okay. We participate in it. And so when we say the Blessed Virgin Mary has the fullness of grace, we're saying she fully participates in this grace. Now, St. Thomas Aquinas says there are 3 degrees that a person can participate in the fullness of grace. When we use the term fullness of grace, there's 3 ways you can do this. One is true of our Lord, one is true of our Lady, and one is true of us. So let's look at these 3. First, let's talk about our Lord. The absolute fullness of grace is in Jesus Christ. Okay? At the moment of his conception, he's absolutely full. He does not grow in grace at all during his life. Okay? There's no growth. Why? Because of the hypostatic union and because he had the beatific vision, which is the vision of God in heaven. Jesus does not grow in grace. From the moment of his conception, he's absolutely full. Now, that's not true of Our Lady. Our Lady is completely full of grace at her conception. That's true. But she has a fullness of what's called superabundance. Okay? It's a special privilege just for her. Our Lady, she could grow in grace. So she has a superabundance of grace at her conception, and then it continues to grow. Okay? Now, her grace grew unceasingly. It never stopped growing. So from the moment of her conception, it grew and grew and grew and never halted, never slowed down. Well, why not? because the Blessed Virgin Mary is not hindered by original sin. She was born without original sin. We'll talk about that later. Nor did she ever commit a venial or mortal sin. Sin inhibits our ability to participate in God's grace, either by extinguishing it or getting in its way. She has no sin, original or personal, and she has the fullness of grace from conception. So she grew in grace. Her superabundance of grace, guys, spills over into our lives. So the Blessed Virgin Mary has a special privilege to help it spill over into us. Well, what's it mean for us to have the fullness of grace? We clearly don't have the fullness of grace our Lord does. He's divine. We're not. We do not have the special privileges that the Blessed Virgin Mary has. So what does it mean for us to have fullness of grace? St. Thomas Aquinas says, our fullness of grace refers to the fact that God gives us an abundance of grace to perform good acts and become Christ-like throughout our lives. The fullness of grace for us is that we become what we're supposed to be. So here's my question for you guys. Are you looking to our Lord and our Lady for the graces you need to live a holy life? Guys, are we putting ourselves in a position where God's abundance of grace, Mary's superabundance of grace, can overflow into us and allow us to become holy? Are we giving God a fighting chance to become holy? I mentioned Reginald Guérigou-Lagrange before. He wrote another book called Providence. It's excellent. But one of the things that struck me in that is one of the chapters is called The Grace of the Present Moment. And what he says is we too often think of our lives as this horizontal realm where we look at one event after another. We look through things only externally. But God sees things not on a horizontal plane, but a vertical plane. And what he meant by that is this. God at every single moment of our lives is hovering above us, so to speak, with the graces we need to live good and holy lives. Our Lord and our Lady are in heaven waiting to give us the graces we need. And Father Guérigou-Lagrange says that when we stand before God at the end, God's going to show us not only the graces that he gave us that we used, and he'll reward us for using it, but he's also going to show us the graces we passed on. Guys, I want to challenge you to throughout your day, start turning to God for the graces you need. Last month, I gave you the challenge for the first 15. Every morning, start with our morning offering to Our Lady of Mount Carmel and read the Gospel of John. We're going to continue doing both those things. We're going to start our day saying, Lord, give me the graces I need to live good and holy today. But let's go further, gentlemen. This month, the challenge is to pray a decade of the rosary. If you already prayed more than one decade, fantastic. But the goal is one decade of the rosary every day. You can couple that with your morning offering if you want. You can put it at your lunch break later in the day, whatever you'd like. But I want to challenge you guys to pray that decade of the rosary. Show our Lord and our Lady that you want these graces they want to give you. Our Lord's absolute abundance of grace, Our Lady's superabundance, let them overflow those graces into your life so that you can become the man that God wants you to be. See you guys next week.